Well, we always need the Lord.
Yes, that's right.
And I've got good news for you on that front. He's always there.
Yes, sir.
You know, there's a blessing that Jesus said was on those who were poor in spirit. So it's good for us to feel our need of the Lord. But I want to tell you, the other part of that scripture said they'll be filled. Those who feel the hunger, the need in their soul, He's there to fill. He's there to supply our spiritual needs.
Amen.
And many times our physical needs. He's there and helps us with those too. I'm grateful this morning that we have the Lord to be our helper in every time of need. I was listening to Brother Purvis and what he had to say a while ago, and the response of that man to the reporter's question was that, "I don't know and I don't care." That's almost shocking to me that we could be like that. I would certainly hope that all of us care today. I would certainly hope that everyone, not just in this building, but all of our neighbors, I hope that people care. Care about each other. Care about what effect my life is having on you. Care about where we're headed. And Brother Purvis mentioned about the early morning church and how those fellows that listened to the words of Jesus and how they received it. They believed it. They believed it so strongly they said, "We were eyewitnesses of this thing. And what I saw, I'm telling you." And they didn't embellish it. They didn't come with big fancy words to try to make it more than what it was. They just made it what it was.
Amen.
And it's powerful. And it's true. And they wanted to bring it right on down to the children. Isn't that what Jesus even tried? Isn't that what the Lord tried to teach His children of Israel early on? He said, "Put it right on the doorposts. Put it on the fronts. Write it on yourself. Make it to where you were always reminded of what I'm telling you. Because I want not only you to see this and to know it. When your children are raised around your knees, I want them to get to know it. And when those grandchildren start coming along, I want them to know it. And their children and the generations following. Because I care about them. I care about tomorrow." And folks, surely we should care about tomorrow. I don't know what, you know, sometimes we, and I'm concerned about the future. I don't know how much longer we have, but I hope it goes on for a long time. I hope many people are reaped for the kingdom of heaven. And God help us to live in such a way that it's still just as pure, just as true in our lives as we live it today. That we don't diminish it. That we don't take away from it. But it just simply works in our life. Well, thank the Lord. I believe He would have us to enjoy all that He has for us today. I would like for us to turn over here in the book of James, thinking about the type of meeting we have here today. And, well, I guess I'd have to also tell you I'm very grateful to live in the setting that we have today.
Amen.
We could focus today, and there are things of great concern that we see going on in our nation. I suppose that's always been. And perhaps in the day we live in today, perhaps, I don't, from my own perspective, it seems like there's a lot of concern I have for where we are today. Maybe it's the age that I'm living in, my own age. Maybe it's the feeling of responsibility that lies on my shoulders today. It seems like there's more responsibility on my shoulders than what there was when I was a teenager. But I'm concerned. But I also want to tell you that I'm very grateful. On this day that we, as a nation, set aside a time just for Thanksgiving, And when it was proclaimed at the beginning of the proclamation that this nation should set aside a time for thanksgiving, it was very clear that we were to thank God. There was no question in that proclamation that we should honor and thank God. And folks, I want to tell you today, I thank God for where we are. I thank Him for the liberties that we have. I thank Him for all that we enjoy in this great nation. May God help us to keep her just as free, just as true as what it's been in the past. And that starts with individuals who own God as their Savior. And I want to thank the Lord today. Oh, Brother Clifford used to start out a lot of his sermons like this. He said, I want to thank the Lord today for salvation. I'm like that too. I want to tell you today that I thank the Lord for salvation. Such a blessing in my soul to have a clearness, not living with a constant guilt. I've got memories I wish I didn't have, but I also know that my sins are under the blood and I'm accepted at the throne of my Father. Folks, that's a blessing. That is such a tremendous blessing. Brother Carl, aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad for salvation today? Forgiveness. I think about a purpose of a meeting like this. I know sometimes life goes on and we go through different aspects of life. Sometimes in the difficulties of life, there are... You ever made a mistake? You don't have to answer that. I believe you can all say yes. I wouldn't want to just testify for you, but I think you could, if you're honest, you'd say, yes, you've sure made mistakes. And sometimes you go along in life and things kind of clutter in your life. Meetings like this is a good time for a renewal. Reevaluate where you stand and reaffirm in your heart the purpose that you have, the direction that you choose to go. By the grace of God, I want to make it through. Meetings like this are for those type of things that we can renew, and also for us to assess in our soul. Perhaps today you've never made that start. Meetings like this are for that I want to do it. I want to live for the Lord. Meetings like this are good times just to come and say, Lord, I want You as my Savior. Oh, thank You, Lord, for presenting Yourself as my Savior. I want a new start. Amen. I want a clean heart. I want to feel the forgiveness, the wiping of... Aren't you thankful this morning for salvation? Yes. The wiping away. The under the blood, the cleansing. Aren't you grateful for that this morning? I thank the Lord for it also. Well, maybe let's start here, the fourth chapter of James. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? I want to just think for a little bit about us. We make decisions of life. Elements come in to our heart and our mind. We can allow selfishness and just me. We can allow my desires, my passions to be the driving force of my life. And if I do that, I start down a road that has a sequence of events. I saw that word sequence recently. Actions have reactions. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. You remember that? There are things that have... There's a sequence of events. And then I put a little prefix before that word sequence of a C-O-N in front of it. You know what that spells? Consequence. There are consequences to our actions. If we start down the road of selfishness... If I start down the road of letting my passions go and not being bridled, not learning how to control myself, not even learning how to tell myself no. If I go down that road, there's consequences to it. A sequence of events takes place, and eventually I come to the place I wish I'd never went down that road. Well, let me tell you today, there's salvation. God has an answer for that. From whence come this wars and turmoil inside a man? I know it talks about amongst people. I want to tell you, before the war breaks out amongst people, it breaks out inside individual hearts. That's where it begins. And God really wants to nip it right there. The turmoil, where does this begin? It begins in hearts. And that is where God sends His power, His force is directed in the hearts of mankind today. It didn't end at Calvary. It didn't end with early morning church. He is still hunting for souls who are interested in their lives being made new, being made clean. He's still interested in people throughout the world, in all nations. He didn't look at just America. Oh, recently, folks, I was privileged to be amongst some of the saints down in Honduras. Precious saints down there. And we were down there at the beginning of the meeting. It seemed like the saints down there were rejoicing. It says, the saints have come in. Well, if we were saints, I don't shirk that title at all. But I wanted them to know, you're saints too. So I tried to remind them kindly that we're brethren. And folks, it is wonderful throughout the world when you find people that turn their hearts toward God and you come together and you begin to share and you see the passion they have, the desire for God. And it just feels good. Isn't that what makes us a body? Isn't that what breaks down the middle wall of partition? Isn't that what brings all together our love for our Heavenly Father? So see, the Lord addresses it in individual hearts. Excuse me this morning. The Lord addresses it in all of our individual hearts here this morning. He whets, He genders in our hearts a tenderness, a love. This power, this force that's greater than death. You see, anger would stand up and try to cause death. But yet there's a love, a tenderness that He wants to plant in our hearts today. A love, a gentleness, a kindness, something that is born from heaven itself. A clearness of heart, clearness of conscience, something that begins to develop and grow and change lives. Where a sequence of events is not, you know, there are some consequences we want. I tell you today, something else I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for a family. Oh, I'll tell you what, at home right now, my children wanted us to stay and just be together today and Thanksgiving. And you know what, dear, part of me really wants, I want to be with my family today. My children are cooking their own Thanksgiving meal. All together there in my house today. And you know what, I want to be there. I'm so grateful for that. You know, we had that when I was a boy growing up. And it's a very valuable thing, folks. Very valuable. And then I was there when I saw Satan come in and destroy things that happened in my generation. And it made it so we couldn't even get together as a family. It was very hurtful and destructive. But I want to tell you, it's worth rebuilding. Amen. If you're in that condition today where the devil has gotten into the family and tried to destroy and break up and move, I just want to tell you it's worth rebuilding. You can do it. And I want to tell you today, I'm very grateful for what the Lord has rebuilt in my family. It's precious. And you don't know how precious it is until you once had it and then lost it. And then you go through the channels. And I will tell you again, it's because of salvation that we're getting it back. It's because of salvation. Because when that happened in my family, I wasn't saved. And I had great bitterness in my heart. But the Lord got a hold of me and began to change. First He changed me in my heart. Then He made me where He could give me a wife that had a heart that's right. And we built a home on love. And I just thank the Lord. When I say thank the Lord for salvation, it's more than just forgiveness. It's a life that's been built. Sequence of events. Consequences. I'm reaping some consequences of what God has done. And so I just tell you today, thank the Lord. It's precious, folks. It's precious. And it's worth building. It's worth rebuilding. I don't know where everybody is today, but it's worth serving the Lord and doing it right. Consequences. Where comes the wars? Well, it comes from us letting an influence in our life that would be destructive. You see, there is the devil. You remember the good seed that was sowed? And then there came some tares. You remember the tares? Yeah. Oh, how did these get here? Well, while men slept. Yes. There was somebody came along and started casting some bad seed into your garden. Yeah. Where did this come from? It doesn't come. This influence didn't come from the Lord. This wisdom didn't come from above. You see? But the wisdom of the Lord is first pure. Yes. It causes good things to grow. The good seed is planted there. And it begins to build good things in lives. Folks, look around us today. Look at our nation. Look at the general condition of the family unit in the United States today. We ought to cry when we think of that. Because there's many people, their view and idea of a family is so twisted today. That's wrong. So wrong. How did it get there? Somebody started letting the bad seeds grow and didn't choose what the Lord has set before us all, His salvation, His saving grace. I believe the Lord's able to help us all to build in righteous ways. And if somehow the devil has torn down things, He's able to help us rebuild. He hadn't given up on us. He wants to help poor people. He wants to help us to reclaim some of the things that the locust has eaten and the palmer worm has chewed on. He wants us to have the sweet things that He wants to build in our lives. Or that question was asked, where do these negative influences, where do these things, the wars and the fighting, the turmoil, where does that come from? I think we know. It's the devil. It's those things in us. Aren't they the lusts in our own passions? Unbridled, unrestrained, not brought into subjection. And none of us, you think, I don't want to be in subjection, but yes, you do. You do. You need that part of you that would tend toward destruction. You need that crucified. You need that mortified, you see. Because if we don't, we see the result all around us of people who have taken that way. Wisdom's crying out there in the street. Wisdom's telling us, don't take that path. Because we see the result of it. There's a sequence of events that lead to that. And then you look at people who have lived righteously and godly in our congregations, in our memories, that we've seen people who have done it right. And you see the sequence of events in their lives. See the steps that they took. And you see the consequence then. What the reaping that they had. I want to tell you, let my reaping be the kind that Brother Clifford Wilson had. I'll tell you that because I know him well. I watched him. There's others. Think about those who have done it right in your life. The memories. Don't you want that type of reaping in your life? Let me have it. I want to have the godly reaping.
Yeah.
Well, it's over here in the fifth verse. Well, maybe let's go ahead and back up here in the fourth verse. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Now, he's not talking about us going around with a surly face and our neighbors walk out the door, we kind of turn our head. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about when you go uptown and have to buy the groceries. He's not talking about us not being friendly with the people around. That's not what he's talking about. What is this world then that he's talking about? But you know, we can let our desires run out after things that are unwholesome. Do you need me to define what unwholesome is? You know, I think in honesty, we just stop and think. You can realize what things that are unwholesome.
Yes.
Things that are ungodly. We don't always have to define that. Folks, God gave you a mind. God gave you a conscience. He expects you to use it.
Amen.
To acknowledge in honesty to ourselves that there are boundaries we should put on our life.
Yes.
We recognize that. And the ministers don't always have to call it out. I understand there's times things need to be called out. Don't get me wrong. But folks, God wants you to know. He wants you and I to recognize and acknowledge in our own heart, I know what's right. I know some of these boundaries. And then follow that impulse. And as you follow that, you hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see, when you follow that, you're starting down a road. Sequence of events happen. And then as you grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, you start developing, you start maturing in the things of the Lord, and you become more settled, more established, more solidified, and you recognize the sweet, pure righteousness, the goodness of that way. You acknowledge it and you embrace it more and more, and you begin to see the blessings that you reap on that way. And that's where then you can look back and say, oh, look what the Lord has given me. You get on down in life and you look back and you say, the Lord, hitherto hath the Lord brought me. This is what the Lord has done in our home. This is what the Lord has done in my life. Oh, isn't it good to look back over the past and recognize, perhaps that was David that said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit. That's right, out of miry clay, out of a horrible pit, has set my feet upon solid rock and has established my goings, has put a new song in my mouth, even praises. Thank the Lord. Isn't that what He wants to do for all of us? And I look back like David and I could say the same thing. Aren't you happy this morning for salvation, for the change? I was talking to the congregation back home. You know, young folks, I see these children, and I want you to grow up to get established in what's right and good. And it's not because I want you to be an extension of any of us. I want you to enjoy life, that your joy might be full. I want you to find out what salvation's like. I want you to reap good things in life. When I was a young man out there on the devil's territory, had some friends that we were out there doing things that weren't right. And then the Lord arrested me by His love. Came and cornered me and captured me. And I gave Him my heart. Oh, I thank the Lord for that. Then, but then some of those same friends, they didn't do that. Time has went on now. Things have happened. One of my good friends that I had in school, he's on his, last I knew anyway, he was on his third wife. Had a lot of problems. Consequences. He's an alcoholic. Doesn't know what to do. He hasn't had happiness, and he's always searching for it. You see the path? See the sequence of events?
Yes.
I was on that same path, folks. And the Lord came by. The sequence of events, I want to tell you today, I want to encourage you young folks today, you don't have to take that path. And I see these young children growing up, and oh, there have been many times I picked up I especially have a love for you boys, you young men. You young ladies, I appreciate you too. I don't want to leave you out, but I can pick up sometimes a little boy in my arms and I hold him. And then many times I've held, if you've seen me holding your son sometimes, there have been many times when I'm holding another young little boy that I'm praying and saying, "Oh Lord, I want this one to grow up to know you." I hold my grandchildren. I have two grandsons. And I pray, "Lord, give them a tender heart for you."
Amen.
Oh, I want this young man. I want this one to grow up to be a man of God. And all you young folks here today, I want the Lord to call you into His service.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed to tell you that. I want you to get a hold of God and feel the sweetness of the Lord working in your soul. And then I want you to so embrace this and so love it and so enjoy it that you got to tell somebody else. I want to see the Lord call you into His service. Is that a little hard? Now I want you to grow up to enjoy this with all your heart. And I see these children think of all their potential. Think of all what could be. And some of what could be is terrible. But some of what could be is fantastic. And I want you to take that path. So then he says that the world is enmity with God. So if you let, young folks, if you let your passions just run unbridled, without having direction and having purpose of life, godly purpose of life, without having that, I want you to know that path will only bring destruction. There's consequences to that path. The sequences of events then that will happen in your life will bring you to consequences that you won't want. Perhaps you've already went down that road and you found that out. It's not too late to rebuild. It's not too late to start. Not too late to turn around. That's part of the purpose of meetings like this. It's for the Lord to come by and to appeal to our individual hearts and give us a new direction or the proper direction. Forgive. Save. Cleanse. Turn around. And establish goings, our goings.
Amen.
Isn't that what the Lord really wants to do to us? He loves His children. He doesn't want anybody lost.
That's right.
He wants us to be established in the good things. Don't you know though that the enmity, that the love of the world, living that way and having your heart turning toward the love of the world, don't you know what that does? It's enmity. It will war against the spiritual things. It's enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Don't you? That's a fact. If you love the ways of the world, those things that are destructive to your soul, don't you know that's at war then with godliness in your life? Do you think the Scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in man lusteth to envy? Well, he's talking about the old carnal flesh. Old carnal spirit. It'll pull toward those things. How else can I say this? Those things that have the certain intrigue of the that would pull us away from righteous living. That's where there's a natural propensity in man to flow that way. And God wants to correct that in us. By His love and His mercy, He wants to help us out of that. But I love this next verse. Listen now. Do you think the Scripture says in vain that the spirit that dwells in man lusteth to envy? Paul was looking at himself and he looked at his condition under the old flesh and he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am! Who? Where's the help?" Listen to this next verse. "But He gives more grace." "He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." Folks, do you think His grace is sufficient? Yes, it is. Sometimes in a setting like this, sometimes we can come in from all different walks of life and maybe even different backgrounds, maybe different doctrinal backgrounds. I hope today that we all have our desire to serve God today. You know, God wants to help us all realize that He just really has one body. He doesn't have a multiplicity of bodies. God wants us to put aside human creeds, human ideas. He wants us to take His Scripture and all His Word as our rule of our life. That understanding that we have in our heart to be pulled toward God and righteousness, that faith, that impulse, God's talking to us. He wants us to flow toward Him and righteous and embrace righteous living. You know, folks, it's not about labels. It's about being His child.
That's right. Amen.
Put aside all labels in our mind. I want to be the child of God. Oh, what are You telling me, Lord, in Your Word?
Amen.
You know, we have such twisting also of the Scripture in this world. Folks, I have heard people use the Scripture to make room for all manner of evil. I've heard people use the Scripture today to make room for a perverted lifestyle that seems to be so rampant in this world. There was a time that they spoke very strongly and promoted the idea that you're just genetically born that way. You can't help it. Well, I want to tell you, evidence really proves differently than that. It's a choice that we make. Think about Sodom right now. It sounds like the whole lot, both old and young, of the men of that city came out to surround that house where the angels were. That was a choice they made. That wasn't just 10% or 4% of a society. That was they were all given to that. They gave themselves to that, folks. It wasn't just a genetic thing. It was a choice. And I want to tell you today that God gives us the right to choose. And He wants us to choose right. That the blessings of the Lord make rich. And there's no sorrow in that. He gives more grace. We can... Have you ever noticed that sometimes you heard people on a sports team about what they call psych themselves up? When they get ready to face an opponent that's bigger and stronger and better equipped than what they are. They get together and they pump themselves up. Say, we're going to win. They have what they call pep rallies. And they say, we've got to keep the faith. We've got to believe. But then when it comes to dealing with our foe in life, which is sin, the devil has won such a victory among most Christianity today, he gets us to capitulate right off the bat by saying, we can't ever get out of sin. How is that? When God says, and it's spoken right here, He giveth more grace. He's got the answer for the problem in our life. He doesn't want us to, right at the beginning, well, we'll realize we've got a terrible, and folks, I want to tell you, the devil's a terrible foe. Sin's a terrible thing. But He doesn't want us to just give up and capitulate right at the beginning and say, I guess we're always going to have to be under sin. Folks, the Lord gives grace. He's got, His grace is sufficient. It didn't fall short, folks. That means He can take people just like you and I and help us to face the foe and get the victory. We don't have to fall under a slave to sin. We don't have to fall under that type of servitude. Won't you hear the good news today? He gives more grace. He's got the answer for us. And I don't, again, I don't know what your background is or what you've thought. Let's take the whole Word of God. And if you have in your mind that we've got to be a slave to sin all your life, I want you to honestly think about this morning. The Lord has grace for you.
Amen.
The Lord wants to help you out of that servitude. He wants to help us all. He didn't want any of us to be a slave to the old sin nature. Aren't you glad? But He gives more grace. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Notice what else He says. Resist the devil. That's our job. He said, He gives grace. What's our job? Resist the devil. You know, folks, it's worked every time it's tried.
Yes.
Resist the devil, he'll flee from you.
Yes.
Hold a resistance. Now, he might sit there and still try to work his wiles, but you resist him.
Amen.
And as long as you resist him, he can't come through.
Amen.
There's a boundary for him. God gives more grace.
Yes.
He giveth sufficient grace. And not just for sin, but folks, you remember when Paul, he had that affliction that it didn't even really describe it. He called a thorn in the flesh that was there constantly. It was some sort of a problem that he had, but he brought it to the Lord. Lord, would you deliver me from this? Now this was a man of God who had prayed prayers of faith and saw people healed. But now he's got something on himself. And he's praying the prayer of faith and bringing it to the Lord. So, Lord, will you help me? Deliver me from this. Well, it didn't happen. He said he did it three times. And the Lord came back with an answer. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Oh, may the Lord help us to avail ourselves of the grace of God. Sometimes the Lord's answer isn't always what in my mind I wanted it to be. But let me tell you this, that even if His answer isn't what I thought it should have been, His answer is still right. And it's good. His answer is the one that's best for me. I believe it was the best answer Paul could have had that day. My grace is sufficient for thee. You know how I responded to that? He said, most gladly therefore. I want to go through this with the grace of God. I want to embrace what the Lord, if this is the will of God, Lord, help me with this, help me go through this in a way that's right. God doesn't always deliver like we have in our mind that it should be. But God always has sufficient grace. Always. He gives us more grace. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Notice the two aspects. One of them is submit ourselves to God. That's not an act of defeated. I'm not being defeated when I submit. I'm being empowered. Because, quite frankly, Goliath would have beat David if it wouldn't have been for the Lord. And you won't make it either if it's not for the Lord. So, for us to bring ourselves under the wing, under the shadow of the Almighty, that's a good, that's a place to dwell. Submit myself, you see. Bring myself under His authority. In doing that, we are empowered and protected and given more grace. It's part of our job to do. Come in, submit ourselves to God. Resist. These are things we can do. These are our jobs. David had to sling that stone. I want to tell you, the giant wouldn't have fallen down except if it wouldn't have been for the Lord. We have our part to do also. And He giveth more grace, and He giveth also the victory. He brings us through. And I thank the Lord for that this morning. All right, I want to turn over into Jude. Pick up a scripture over here. Thought maybe I'd say the second chapter of Jude, but I think we'd have a hard time finding that. Jude the 24th. Well, there's more than just the 24th here. Maybe we'll start with the 20th verse. But you, ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know what this means? This isn't talking about praying in such a way that you don't understand, or there's people around you that don't understand. This is talking about praying with the Holy Spirit of God inspiring truth in your life. Living right. You know, if you're praying things in such a way just to consume it upon your own lust, that's not praying in the Holy Ghost. But when you're praying like Jesus did in the garden, "Thy will be done. Not my will, but Thy will be done." And then you're praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You see, you're praying in accordance with the Holy Spirit of God. All right. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Again, what he's meaning here is embracing, holding precious and true the very truths. Like Brother Purvis was talking about, admonishing us this morning. Folks, there's been truths that have been delivered to you and I that have worked. Amen. It's truth that's been good for our soul. Yes. We watch people go down that path in their life, and we've seen what it did. Mark the perfect man. Yes. Behold the upright. Because the end of that way, that man's way is peace. Yes. And we've watched it, and we've seen it and proven it. And young folks, start marking those who do it right. And you see if it's not true. I've done that. I've lived just long enough to see people do it right. Beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's something else we can do. It's part of our job. Keep ourselves in the love of God. Amen. How do you do that? Well, let me just tell you how it's worked for me. Spending time with Him. Reading and praying. Learning as you go through life. Even through your work day. Have your mind. Let your mind run on some of the things of the Lord. You feel that pulling and that inspiration. Your mind just runs toward the things of the Lord. And you start feeling that sweet communion. Sometimes the Scripture will, maybe a Scripture that you're thinking of, it'll just come to your mind and some inspiration along with it. Folks, you know what the Lord's doing? He's preparing you for Wednesday night prayer meeting so you have a good testimony. Or maybe He wants to give you a message for next Sunday morning. Young folks, if you feel the Lord stirring in your heart, listen to Him. He's trying to give you something. Exercise yourself in the Lord. When the Lord gives you something like that, it's inspiring in your heart. Will you just come on next time you come to service and you feel that? Tell it. Let me tell you what the older ones are going to do. They're going to rejoice with you. You might even see some tears start running down their face because they know what you're talking about. And they're just thrilled to see a young person starting to exercise themselves in the Lord. I want to tell you, you won't make the, if you want to make the pastors and the teachers and those who are interested in this thing going on, you want to make them real happy, start exercising in the Lord.
Amen.
When the Lord inspires some thoughts to your mind throughout the week and you come and share it Wednesday night prayer meeting or whenever, You're going to see them thrilled what you're doing. And it'll also do your soul good. You'll just enjoy it. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And of some having compassion, making a difference. Have others and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We can comment about that, but this is the 24th verse we really want us to get a hold of. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Hope you got a hold of that Scripture. Brother Jude is looking at people and telling them that the Lord's able to keep them. He's looking at people just like us. Dealing with difficulties of life. Dealing with persecution. People that don't like you. How you get to victory? Does it make you feel good when you're around people that really don't like you? You ever had that experience? Well, I have. I've been in places where they just really didn't want me. Well, it don't make you feel too good. Did you know God's got grace for you? He's able to keep us right there. Brother Jude said, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Don't have to fall. Oh, this isn't just a pep rally. This is the Word of God. This is God saying to us, to people living today, with the problems that we have, with the issues that we face in life, with the fears that we have, not knowing what tomorrow holds. I want to tell you, He's able to keep us. That's what the Bible says. Brother Jude was there. He saw it. And he said, He's able to keep you. Brothers and sisters, today He's able to keep you. If you have a heart for God today, you want to make heaven, He's able to take you there. He's able to keep you. Our job is to keep ourselves in the love of God. Our job is to have a hungry, seeking heart. Our job is to turn ourselves over to Him. Our job is to submit ourselves unto God. These are our jobs. Our job is to resist the devil. Our job is to recognize those places in our heart that would pull us into the world and recognize that that's not what I want. Our job is to recognize the effects that the love of the world has had on other people and choose in our heart, I don't want to go that way. By the grace of God, I want to follow You, Lord.
Amen.
And He's able to keep you.
Amen.
Resist the devil. The devil will flee from you. Keep up the resistance of the devil. Recognize where his lair is. Sometimes I know he can come in awful sneaky. And sometimes He lays traps for us. Sometimes we fall, we make mistakes and don't recognize it in time. But the Lord is always there to help us and raise us up and help us to learn. This is part of the sequence of events. You know, we can learn from it, or we can fall under accusation and just discouragement. And the devil like all of us, to fall under accusation and discouragement and just quit.
Yes. Right.
No, He's able to keep you. The Lord is able. Listen now, unto Him who is able to keep you from falling.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
And to present you without fault. Isn't that a good feeling? I stand here in the blood of Jesus Christ. I stand here through your saving grace. I stand here. Think of this. We're all going to stand before God for the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand there someday. But we have the privilege of standing there being washed clean. Thank you, Lord, for giving me, taking my old unholy spirit and replacing it with the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you changed my thinking.
Yes.
You changed my mind. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I saw things differently after I got saved. I saw things differently when the Lord came in. Oh, aren't you glad for salvation this morning?
Yes.
Well, our time has gotten away. But I want to encourage us today. I was going to go over there in the book of Proverbs, but maybe we don't need to do that right now. I believe you have the burden of our heart. I want you to know you can live saved. I want you to know there's a good way.
Amen.
Children, as you grow up, I want you to know God's got something for you. Oh, I want you to grow up with a tender heart toward God. Children, I wish I could reach right in your heart and help you feel the love that I have for you. Because I want you desperately to grow up to know my Savior. Oh, there was a man who was in our congregation there for a while. He was a minister. Y'all probably know him down here. Brother Herbert Probst. Maybe you younger ones don't. But some of the old, we call ourselves older now, don't we, Brother Michael? Some of the older ones remember Brother Herbert Probst. And he would pray. He would preach up there. I wasn't saved earlier when he was there. He would preach in our congregation. Quite often he would talk to us in tears, running down his face about his Jesus. And I didn't appreciate it very much early when I wasn't saved. It just seemed like words. But I got saved. And I came back and I heard him preach again about his Jesus. And the tears were running down his face. And I want to tell you, the tears started running down mine too. Because I started knowing what he was saying. And all you children, I want, maybe you don't understand very well at this point in your life, but I hope someday you grow up and get to know the Lord. I hope you'll look back and say, that's why Brother Ivan was crying. That's why he appealed, because he wanted me to know that. Young folks, I want you to get a hold of God. There's a good way. There's a way that leads to life. There's a way that's satisfying to the soul. Oh, God wants us all to enjoy that. Not just in this congregation, but our neighbors and our friends. Of course, He wants everybody to be saved. God help us. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.